speech, how many of you are worried about the future because of climate change? And they all raise their hands. And then we ask them, how many of you feeling that adults are doing enough? And none of them raise their hands. This is the reality of what our children are facing. We as adults messed this planet up, and we have to take responsibility and clean it up. We cannot say, oh, the kids are here to save the planet and our future. That's not right.
A big part of this is about allowing our kids to let go of this anxiety and feel like there is something they can do. There is steps that they can take to actually make choices in their life to save the planet and kind of be part of the solution. And I think it's so important to ground kids and give kids hope that they can do things, because as much as responsibility as our generation needs to take, and I 100% agree with that, a lot of them are going to need to grow up and be part of the solution as well. And so starting them as their teenagers, like grounded and having a sense of identity that they're part of the solution, I think will bring the mindset for the future of coming, of being more responsible stewards of businesses or governments as they grow into those roles.
Frederica Siren and James Harker are the Zero Waste family. They live in San Diego with their three kids. Frederica's book is A Practical Guide to Zero Waste for Families, and they're featured in a documentary called Zero Time to Waste. James, Frederica, thank you so much for taking time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Top of Mind is a BYU Radio podcast. Today's episode was produced by James Hoops and Vanessa Goodman, with help from Samuel Benson and me. Our sound designers are Brandon Lewis, Christian Mocatel, and Mitchell Towsley. I am so glad you are joining us for season 3 of Top of Mind, focused on finding fairness. In addition to full episodes tackling tough topics like this, we are excited to be sharing lots of stick with it conversations on the podcast feed this season. And we would love to hear your story. Tell us about a time when you felt challenged and you had the urge to get defensive, which is totally natural, right? But you chose to stick with that discomfort instead and see what could come of it. Tell us what happened. Our email is topofmind@byu.edu. And if you'd take a moment to rate and review Top of Mind on your favorite podcast app, that will help other people find us and to join in this effort to become better citizens, kinder neighbors, and more effective advocates. I'm Julie Rose. We'll talk soon.
Faith is openness to God and loyalty and sense of connection. It's not knowledge, it's intimacy.
I felt intrinsically that I had a hole inside of me where religion was supposed to go.
On In Good Faith, we believe that all faith traditions have something to teach us about how God is working in the world and in our lives. So join us to listen, learn, and be amazed. Sunday on BYU Radio and the In Good Faith podcast.
BYU Radio comes to you in more ways than ever. Nationwide, we're heard on Sirius XM Satellite Radio on Channel 143. Ask your smart speakers for BYU Radio. Stream us worldwide at byuradio.org. And in Utah, you can get us on HD Radio at 89.1 KBYU FM HD2 Provo. And on the FM dial at 107.9 KUMT Randolph-Ogden Salt Lake Provo. BYU Radio.
Next on BYUSN, which position groups do you feel like need to be improved from last year and which need to be addressed? Bronson Cafusi is in studio. Will the defensive line get after the quarterback this year, and how far over the projection of 4.5 wins is he going?
Also, BYU gymnast Anna Bramlett's going to join us to preview today's regional meet against Boise State, and a special night for BYU softball as the Agbayani sisters each leave the park. It was a lot of fun.
How about that? Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Wednesday, April 3rd. I am Jerem Jordan. He is part of the consistency police, Dave McCann.
You know, it's important. Consistency is a strength,
yes,
right?
Yes, it is.
And the more you have it, the better you feel. The inconsistencies are what cause anxiety. And for every coach going into a game that has one key element of its team not performing where he wants, that's where his fears go. That's where the anxiety goes. Because that's how we are. If it's consistent, we're good.
Steve Young's, tweeted, be consistent. You know, I am consistent. His throw in the alumni game, by the way, very similar to throws we saw too, one Jerry Rice. If I'm a Levahifo, I'm flattered here.
The form is the same, thus the consistency. And,
He looked off the safety, by the way. in a flag or a touch football game, he looked off the safety.
The only difference,
that was next level.
The only difference was the throw to Jerry Rice. I'm not sure Taylor Swift was born. And the throw to Levahifo was the shake, shake, shake play.
Yes,
of the
shake,
Taylor
shake,
Swift
shake
song.
Play.
So that was different. But the form, the release.
The release and everything.
Very consistent and has been very good.
I would have loved to have seen the stumble, you know, against the Vikings, that run. Do you remember when Burger King did a commercial where they replaced the Burger King in as if he was Steve and he was running around? That was funny. Consistency, by the way, is overrated because what we don't
what
say is...
What do you
is,
mean it's overrated?
What we don't say is, they're consistently bad, and I appreciate that. No, they're consistent, too. It's just that we like consistently good is a qualification,
that's
I think.
That's right.
There.
BYU appreciated Utah being consistently bad in the early 80s.
Yeah, that was...
They beat them every year. We all appreciated their consistency.
Yeah, now it's on in November this year, which is going to be fun. Okay, all rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
We saw some real development in some of our young offensive linemen, tight ends, some young running backs. Just you can see a daily improvement in those guys. And it was a pretty physical spring, but it was necessary.
What's Trending is presented by Tim Daly Nissan, part of the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968. The goal from year to year is to improve, to get better. With spring football practice finished, which position groups do you feel like will be improved from last year to this year?
And a lot of folks are talking about this. And we're now about, hey, what do you think about this? We're going to be better at this? We're going to be worse at this? And so this is the buzz here in early April in Cougar Nation. And you got to go right to the quarterbacks. And I think the quarterbacks will be better. I think the position group today is better than it was last year at this time. And you're like, what? Are you nuts? Well, Keaton Slovis was here, but there was nothing behind him, right? All new guys.
Including Keaton himself.
Yeah, including himself. And so he's the starter. And then when he got hurt, we had total inexperience coming in. And that inexperience showed up in Jake Retzlaff's play. And who wouldn't be out of their mind? It was the first go at Division I football. This year, you got two guys. You haven't named a starter yet, but you got Bohannon and Retzlaff. Your quarterback room is already deeper than it was last year at this time, with two players who've experienced football at this level. And then you got the younger guys, Ryder Burton and company, the transfer from Western Michigan, or
Grayson Bourget,
who's looked really good. Yep. So you got those guys in there too. The quarterback room as a whole is in better shape as a position group right now than it was a year ago. Agree? Disagree?
I like that one. Still need to prove it. Like, neither Jake Retzlaff nor Gary Bohannon have won a game at BYU, so I'm excited to watch them compete, right? So, I agree. Still kind of in the show me stage a little bit with that group. The safeties, I believe, will be better from last year. They had some notable injuries that really wiped them out.
Wiped them all out.
Almost everybody, right? It was crazy. Michael Harper is back off an ACL. Talon Alfrey had a fall camp injury that kept him out for the first half of the season. Ethan Slade was a real consistent guy that kind of started as a backup, was a starter. He got hurt eventually. Tanner Wall got hurt eventually. Crew Wakely and Raider DeMooney and Preston Rex were you guys. So there were seven or eight guys that have experience, which is valuable. Now when you throw someone in this, they've played before. They played at Texas. Yeah. They played against TCU, blah, blah, blah. New guys like Tommy Prassis, a freshman who's only 17, have really shown well, apparently, as a guy who could press for some backup playing time. Not starter minutes quite yet. Chika Ebunoha also in that group. So that's interesting. Tight ends, to me, I expect to be better as well. Did not get the production that we probably wanted out of Isaac Rex. 34 catches, 422 yards, 3 touchdowns. It's not bad, but it's not like what Isaac Rex... I think he could have been a 6,606 guy.
Isaac with a healthy ankle is a different Isaac.
Yes, he's a different Isaac, as Spencer chronicled last week in Frisco. He looks way better. The Keanu Hill experiment has worked, apparently, in spring, where Keanu is good as a pass catcher, and he's a good enough blocker. Aaron Roderick told me Saturday he's as good of a blocker at tight end as anybody we've got on the roster. Then you've got Renner Swanson, who turned some heads in spring. High-profile recruit, big-time get. Jackson Bowers, don't forget about him. Redshirted last year, ESPN 300 guy out of high school. And then Ethan Erickson, to me, is like the sneaky guy. He had a touchdown catch against East Carolina 2 years ago that we forget about that was incredible. He got hurt. He sat out spring with a foot injury. He'll be in the mix as well. So and then Ray Paulo and Matavitase, they come in and they block quite a bit. More of those kind of H tight ends as opposed to the verticality of the others down the field. So I think that group will be improved as well. I'm excited about the tight end.
I'm going to parlay from the tight end over to the receivers.
Nice Vegas
where
guy.
Keanu used to hang out.
Yep.
Yeah. And look at this group. I think this group's going to be much better than it was last year. One, because it's older, wiser, and preferably stronger and faster, and healthy.
And healthy, wealthy, and wise?
They
throw NIL money in there?
Yeah, let's see that. They didn't come into the season healthy. It's like everyone just kind of joined at certain times.
Fall camp was rough for these
guys.
But
Chase Roberts is the leader. Cody Epps had a good spring. I think Darius Laster will be the breakout guy. He showed a lot. You got Marion and Parker Kingston. There's a couple of guys back from missions. I mean, this is a full
Cody
room.
Hagan specifically is a big time.
This may be the deepest the room has ever been. At BYU.
Whoa!
But that doesn't mean it's full of All-Americans. I'm just talking about a deep room that's better than it was last year as it sits today coming out of spring, largely because of health. And Parker Kingston showed a lot as a freshman. You know, now let him be a sophomore. Let him be older and find his way in that mix. And I still would love to see us line up five wide and just go and utilize all these weapons in the receiver. I don't know if
we've been watching tight end footage.
I don't know if we lined up five wide one time last year where it was like they can't guard them all. And then you throw Keanu in there as a tight end who can beat a linebacker, and it screams optimism. You know, and the key is for these groups that we're talking about that are in better shape than maybe they were last year is getting through fall healthy, especially talking about your safeties, the receiver group, running backs, we'll talk in a minute. They didn't get through fall healthy.
There's
lost
no
Rapati
group
and
where
Robbins broke a rib.
Yes, yes.
That torpedoed the running game.
They walked
and
into
the other
the
kids are freshmen out of El Paso.
Yep.
You know, and so that was the thing going in. So these groups that look good today need to get through fall camp, and I don't know how you do it with having a physical camp and also preserving your guys, but last year we had a physical camp and it seemed like the team was never at full strength. The whole season.
There's always the how physical is too physical.
Yeah.
If you're not physical enough, suddenly you're not tackling. And hey, you weren't physical enough. Oh, we were overly physical. Now we're hurt or injured. Like, it's hard to sort of balance that narrative.
Because it's football and it's physical.
And no one wants to say, yeah, we didn't tackle very much.
Yeah,
remember when Kenny Amatalolo said that at Navy? And they didn't tackle anybody. And it was like, well, yeah, BYU won 55-3.
But at the same time, you can't go into the season opener without any safeties. You just you've got to get your guys to the finish line so they can start.
Yep.
And you can't have your starting running back with a broken rib.
Nope.
So at some point, and you have to have some luck. Right?
Yeah.
But the goal is, however you figure it out, the goal is you have to be healthy for Southern Illinois.
A note on that, that is awesome about what BYU does with spring ball. They do it very early.
Yeah.
Very early. It gives, one coach in particular told me, it gives us more time to get healthy during the summer. It really does.
And there's a couple of guys that are using that time right now.
Yes, there are.
Yes, there are.
I want to add offensive line to this conversation. Last year, certainly you're going to lose a very good player in Kingsley Suamatia at left tackle. You're going to lose Paul Miley, who had great experience going to the Rose Bowl with Utah and starting last year for BYU, sometimes at guard. You lose those two, but you bring back some quality. And you've changed the coach to T.J. Woods. This group's got to be better. The main reason BYU goes 5-7 last year is because they don't have a run game. That was the biggest issue with BYU football. But look at the guys you bring back. Pei was big time to get back. Kime's going to be a guy. Lapuahu is back as a starter. Etienne's going to move to left tackle and be the guy. Sonny Macassini and others. This group, with some returning experience and a new coach and a new mindset and a new philosophy, needs to be way better. If BYU is just okay at running the ball instead of terrible, they win another game somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And they go to a bowl game.
Absolutely.
Now, it doesn't automatically mean you just do it. But I'm confident that BYU can get 6 wins. If they can have just some semblance of a run game. It's year 2 of LJ Martin. He's not fresh off that yellow bus. He is a sophomore and the guy. Which brings us to topic 2.
And so let's go to the other side. Which of these position groups needs to be addressed further as camp has ended, and the next camp that we see, I think it's the very end of July, and it's the one that gets you ready for the openers.
The first thought is quarterbacks, where it's like, okay, yeah. Who's, because when we say need to be addressed, we're not just talking about like go to the portal and find a good player that can.
Because they're not going to go get a quarterback.
They're not. Yeah, it is. The other angle of that to me is the show me, the prove yourself, prove me now herewith, right? Show me quarterbacks that you're going to execute and be good enough at this level. Because I don't walk into the season feeling like, oh, BYU is going to win 9-plus and compete for a Big 12 title. We're not in that space. We walked into 2022 with that mindset because of how 21 went and the returners. We don't have that combination this year. What we have is a group that we feel like can get to a bowl game, and I would love to feel like, hey, the ball bounces well and you stay healthy, you can get to 8 wins. An 8-win season in a Power 5 conference would be awesome for this program. But we got to make a bowl game, dog. We didn't last year. 2-7. This close, disappointing. So quarterbacks to start are the, hey, you got to show me that you can execute against Power 5 competition.
Yeah, and you're not going to see that until
week four.
So there'll be some mystery going in. With Slovis, we had seen it at USC and we'd seen it at Pitt and had a lot of experience. And you know what? I still think Slovis was the answer, but he had to stay healthy and he didn't.
He got hurt early.
And that changed everything because behind him was no experience. So
that won't be the case this year.
Yeah. It won't be the case this year because you got blood behind that's been in.
If it's Jake, Gary's ready. If it's Gary, Jake's ready.
And the running backs is another area that I think needs some work, meaning it's unproven. You got L.J. Martin, who's back, coming into his sophomore season.
Yeah.
Rapati missed last year. We hear great things about Rapati with what he was able to do at spring. But again, it's been a while since he's been in there. And you see a bunch of other guys in that room. I have a feeling in the portal they'll be looking around, and if there's a running back, they'll grab one. Just because you can never have too many.
You think they'll add a running back?
I think they will. Okay. But you can never have too many, and there's not one behemoth, right? Aiden Robbins was going
to
be
the 1,000-yard
guy.
As opposed to production?
Maybe a little mixture of both.
Because it feels like LJ is RB1. I asked Aaron as much. He didn't say, yeah, he's RB1, but I think based on last year, we can walk in confidently saying
LJ
Martin's
another one.
The guy.
You need another one
sure.
In the event that, and maybe it's Rapati, or maybe it's Davis, or it's a big 240-pound guy from wherever, that you just go, yes. Yes, come
a
in.
Chris Brooks, Aiden Robbins
type. Yeah, and they've done that. They've done that last
the
couple
history
of years. Aiden Robbins was going to be the,
playing with like a broken rib.
And then he was never healthy until
the end of the season. And then we saw the Oklahoma
182 yards.
Which is the film I'm handing to every NFL scout if I'm him.
And I'm pretty sure that game is why he's in the mix. He's in the mix and not coming back.
It gave him a chance to bounce. If he doesn't have the Oklahoma game, he may be here still.
Yeah, which would be awesome.
Which would have been awesome.
Yeah.
But beating Oklahoma would have been more. Awesome.
And we ran him different at the end, too. We let him just go, hey, you're a straight ahead runner.
Little inside zone.
And
yep.
Do that. So I'm watching that area. The defensive line has been a big popular topic because BYU couldn't stop the run and they couldn't get to the quarterback. And when Jay Hill came in and looked around, he's like, I need some Kafusis. But as Bronson comes into the room, I need some Bronsons, but
always.
There weren't any.
There are two linebackers, like last name Kafusi.
And so he's put that emphasis in recruiting and in development. We visited with Isaiah Banya, and we visited with Tyler Batty. Those guys rush ends back with revised bodies and attitude to get to the quarterback. Brought in some run stoppers from junior college. And I think that area, too, if there's a couple out there, you can plug those guys in. You don't have to hand them the 500-page playbook. You hand them three. Tackle the guy at the ball. You're the left
get
tackle.
After it.
You're
Hopefully,
the right tackle.
Tui Saili is a baller. Yeah. The hope is that he's the next Kyrus Tonga type, right? A D tackle that can get you to third and long.
It takes two guys to block.
After first and second down, you get some stops there. That'd be nice. I have questions about cornerbacks. Jacob Robinson's clearly a guy, but who else? You lost Eddie Heckert and Camden Garrett. So you have Maury Bamba, Evan Johnson, Marcus McKenzie, Jaden Dunlap, Koa Eldridge. Those are the other guys who emerges at cornerback. And then punter, obviously, you're losing one of the greatest, if not the greatest punter BYU's ever had.
NFL punter.
Lee Johnson and Ryan Rico are the two greatest punters BYU's ever had. Sam Vanderhaar from Pitt, given a scholarship. Landon Rico going to compete there as well. That's Ryan's younger brother. So we'll see who the punter is. We've kind of the last 4 years just been like, we're super comfortable, right, with what's happened there because Ryan Rico was awesome.
Right.
It put BYU in position to win a bunch of games, and if they lost, maybe it was closer than it would have been.
He flipped a lot of fields.
He was awesome, man. No bigger fan of Ryan Rico than this guy. I enjoyed watching punts, finally. Johnny Linehan, I know what you felt. Okay, our question of the day is this. Which BYU football position group do you believe will be the most improved this season? Brian Buss on X. Better be the offensive line, or it won't matter who the number one RB or QB is. Yes, we learned that last year, right? If not, the O isn't going anywhere, and third and fourth string QBs better be ready. Next important, D-line, as you mentioned. If they can't stop the run, create some havoc in the backfield, it's going to be a long season.
Our last two testimonials from Connor Pay, who said, the line is coming together, and it's going to get the job done. And Banya, who said, we love the energy of the and the new guys. They're bigger, stronger, faster. So those are the last two testimonials, not coaches, but guys actually in there who believe – both on camera and off camera, they believe that that's moving forward.
I'm still waiting for the day, however, where someone goes, oh, no, we're terrible at this. Like, they're never going to be like, we have to hit the portal, get like five guys. We're the worst.
Every now and then you get somebody.
You're excited
going.
And you believe in your group, which is good. Let's see. Real sports fan on X.
The offensive line followed by the tight end group. Although I do think our defensive line will be better.
Yeah.
Hoping that both lines take meaningful strides. It very well could be, and often is the difference between a winning and losing season. All true.
Do you build from the, you know, inside out? You start, you know, start with the D tackles in the center, and you go out from there. Because there's Colin Cowherd always said, hey, running backs and wide receivers are the sports cars. Those are nice, but you need the pickup truck, you know, that really hauls the beef there. Is BYU getting better in those spaces? We feel like they're recruiting better. Jay Hill did a tremendous job getting some really good talent. That talent will take a second to kind of get in there. Not Jack Kelly. He's a transfer who comes in and probably starts right away at backer. But I'm talking about some of the real good talent in Utah that BYU got. Yeah. It'll be a couple of years, but maybe it's year two when they're a redshirt freshman or sophomore. We'll see. Okay, continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
BYU baseball hitting the road tomorrow. They got three games in Austin against the Texas
Longhorns.
Go. First pitch, 7:30 Eastern, and you can listen to it on BYU Radio.
Up next, Bronson Cafusi joins the show. Will the defensive line get after the quarterback this year? And how far over the projection of 4.5 wins is he going? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is sponsored by the Tim Daly Auto Group, serving Utah since 1968.
From business matters to family matters, from legal advice to litigation, Fillmore Spencer is your full-service law firm headquartered just a mile north of LaBelle Edwards Stadium on University Avenue, with branch offices in Salt Lake and St. George. Top-rated lawyers consistently voted Utah Valley's favorite law firm. With its broad legal expertise, Fillmore Spencer can play offense or defense and even provide a little coaching. Fillmore Spencer, solving problems and seizing opportunities for you, your family, and your business.
Did you know the average TV commercial break is around 3 minutes long? And that it takes a cup of noodles about 3 minutes to cook? Your favorite song is probably 3 minutes long too. And you get a pressure-filled 3 minutes to finish your turn in Scrabble? But did you know you can get a rain-repelling, triple-foaming, tire-shining, undercarriage rust-inhibiting car wash in just 3 minutes? You can, with membership at Quick Quack, home of the 3-minute shine. Just say, Siri, directions to Quick Quack. See you soon.
Cougar fans, it's time to gear up and get ready for BYU sports. The excitement is back and bigger than ever. We're taking on the Big 12. Are you geared up and ready to cheer them on? The BYU Store is the number one source for all your quality, authentic BYU gear. Get your official Big 12 merch, game day tee, and the latest Nike sideline clothing, just like the BYU players and coaches wear. Shop the campus store, the stadium store, or online at BYUstore.com for the widest selection of BYU clothing and accessories. The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
This is Jason Shepherd, the host of Deep Blue, where we bring you closer to the athletes and coaches you rise and shout for. These are the true tales of the BYU Cougars.
I didn't know how I'd make it to the next day, but I held on as much as I could, barely hanging on.
When you have a dream in your heart and you incorporate God into that goal, right, He's not going to let you fail.
God gives us a gift, and we use that gift until He takes it away.
Check out all episodes on the BYU Radio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Really proud of these guys.
Feeling himself a little bit.
Buck Martin takes off. Jake throws, complete.
Ball's knocked out of Murphy's hand.
That's a touchdown.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Always fun to talk to guys who know the game, who played at BYU, who played in the NFL. And we were looking for a guy that had played some D-line and tight end. We found the perfect guy.
Yeah.
It's Bronson Cafusi, who played tight end for the Packers. I think people forget that you played tight end a little bit too, right?
People forget I was offered as a tight end first year.
You were originally a tight end. That's
originally
right.
A tight end. Yeah.
It made sense when you put Pitta's jersey on for the alumni game. You fit right in.
Yeah, what's the story there? So Dennis didn't come? We didn't make time for Dennis in the alumni game? Right?
You know, didn't make the flight, so I had to replace him. So
you replace him. Okay.
Until he comes back next year.
I thought you played great. There were a few balls thrown behind you, which weren't your fault. But
I was making up my routes, you know, out there.
I know they're showing the iPad, but let's be honest, you guys just ad-libbing. It's just backyard ball.
Yeah,
right?
So we're talking today about position groups and which ones look like they're in better shape than they were a year ago coming out of spring and which ones might need some work. But as an expert, at what point in the season do you find out really you fixed your problems from the year before? Is it camp? Is it first game? Where do you go, okay, we fixed that?
Yeah, I would say it's when those live bullets are flying out there. Yeah. And after, you know, a certain amount of time. I would say after game three.
Really?
Because you get to see how consistent people are. So game one, they're just trying to get the nerves out. Everyone's trying to figure out. Game two, there's usually a big jump. Game two, and then game three comes and everyone's like, okay, this is what I do well. And then all of a sudden you start to see who's consistent, 4, 5, 6. And then you know the next six, this is what we're going to get. And you're playing the injury game. So, yeah, it's kind of.
So when you broke the huddle, how many games did it take before you knew that your defensive line was getting after that guy, no matter who it was?
Man, I would say it's a mindset that starts early and often. So if you have a D-line or a front seven that in spring ball they're going after the quarterback, in fall camp they're going after the quarterback, in game one they get after the quarterback, 2, 3, it's like everyone knows and feels. Now you have a culture built of we get after the quarterback. So then the rest of the season, when third down comes along or second and long, this is our down. And everyone looks on the field and looks at each other and it's like it's a race to the quarterback. Let's see who can get there first.
Do you feel like BYU has that culture at the moment, or is there some work to be done there?
I think there's some work to be done. It's a level of ownership that comes from everyone. But it's something that is built over time with all your rushers, because it takes everyone that's rushing to do that. It takes the back end to do that. People think like, oh, the D-line needs to get to the quarterback. Well, it's like, well, yes, that's true, but we need to cover, tighten up our coverage. We also need a disguise before the play even starts. So then we get the quarterback thinking. And so that's why football is incredible, because there's so much that goes into it that, man, I always felt like I had a great relationship with the DBs, because on third down, I'd look at them and they'd look at me like, hey, you better get home. I'm not going to be out here by myself all day over here.
And if they're covering well, quarterback might hold on to the ball, right?
Literally just symbiotic. a split second longer, because I know my job is to beat this dude in front of me, and the coach's job is to put me in the best situation. So for me, as an edge rusher, and anywhere on the line, I just want a one-on-one. And so they put me in that position, and a couple other guys, okay, now we get to do some work.
In Jay Hill's second year as defensive coordinator, is that defensive front the key to the linebackers playing better and the secondary playing better? You want to get better at all those spots, but those 4 or 5 guys up front, are those the key to everyone looking better?
Definitely. I
know that's a biased question to a defensive end.
No, it's on both sides of the ball, honestly, especially with like where we're at as a program going into the Big 12 and then the second year. I expect the biggest jump to be in the position groups that are closest to the ball, because
On
both sides. Yeah, that's what I expect, because now they know, the guys that are coming back know, okay, this is what's going on. And they were able to see how much of an effect on winning they have. And once you know that, you know the whole team's relying on you and your job, which is literally a fight in a phone booth for the D-line and the O-line. You know, anyone that comes up, you know, the linebackers come up to fill holes. I mean, that's where you win this game. And especially in the conference that we're in, that's what we hope to see. And I think there's going to be like a massive jump this year.
Really?
And I'm And I'm excited to watch.
It's a little Doctor Who up in here. Let's go. We're talking to Bronson Cafusi. Okay, year one of Jay Hill's defense. What did you like that you saw? And as you mentioned, what do you expect in year two now that he can kind of get a little more advanced with it?
Watching the games, I loved how he mixed the pressures. He brought all types of pressures from the edge, from corners coming to safeties, linebacker. And I love that because pressure breaks pipes. So as a defensive player, I want the pressures. Because I know the more pressures that come, the more movement up front, you start to understand, okay, this is how the D coordinator makes these calls. And now, the second year, I know the chances I can take. And they're calculated chances and risks, but they can lead to major sacks, tackles in the backfield. And because you know where you can play now, where you can take more risks in the moment. So I loved that last year, seeing all the different blitzes that he brought. And then this next year, it's like, okay, we know he's going to bring pressure. And now the players get to be themselves and bring their strengths while they're bringing these pressures. So I'm excited, to watch it.
On the other side of the ball, you've got quarterbacks, and they haven't announced a starter, not going to, until we get into fall camp. Do you guys on the defense even care about that, or does that impact the whole team if there's not a named starter heading into summer?
You definitely want just a leader. And the defensive guys know that the quarterback is that person. Whether you're a good leader, a bad leader, a great leader, like the quarterback's gonna be the leader.
You felt that way about Riley, Nelson, and Taysom?
Yeah, they're the leader. And during fall camp, everyone kind of knows throughout fall camp and, who that is. And there is, and the coaches start to know, and there's trust and respect being built as you go. And so I just feel like you want to have that person, right, as early as possible. But if no one feels comfortable about it, that's fine, because you don't want to force it. And I think that's really important for where we're at and with the quarterback situation here at BYU.
And you don't want the other to transfer. That's another reason.
Yeah. Okay. Don't make a decision till April, till May 1st. The portal closes on the 30th.
Yeah.
May 1st, you can announce your start.
That's one reason, maybe. Who knows? There's one projection that has BYU at 4.5 wins this year. How far over the over are you taking that?
How far are the
I'm going to assume you're not going to go under.
Yeah, I'm not going under. That's for sure. I want six. Like, let's get there. Yep. Let's get six. That was me last year, and it's me again this year. I want six, and then let's build on that. I think it's important. You have to hit that marker.
Which six do you like here?
Ooh. Oh, yeah. Man, we might take
game one, check. What are the other
ones? One, check. SMU, Wyoming, right?
You like those two? SMU is pretty good.
Yeah, SMU is pretty good.
On the AC.
Yeah, and it's there.
Yep.
That one might be tough, but we'll take it. I would say, I think we're going to beat Arizona at home.
Okay.
Arizona had a great year last year.
New
head coach.
And then, I think at the end here, we got to beat Utah, so count that one.
Let's go. Let's go, of course.
Always a win when I see Utah. Right? I'm always looking at it that way. So.
The game at Baylor. Baylor's not the same, and BYU's played them tough twice.
Utah hasn't beaten BYU in 5 years, just saying.
Yeah.
And then then you got Arizona. Oh, hey, all of a sudden you're way past Houston. Six. You know, Arizona State, Houston.
Wow, BYU's going to the playoff, according to Bronson Cafusi. That's crazy. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, because obviously we're still navigating what competing in a Power 5 looks like, right?
Yeah.
And last year, obviously, strong start by BYU, 5-2. Lose the last five. That was a bummer. So what do you feel like BYU learned that next year they can apply to make sure they're in a bowl game?
One thing that really hurt us last year was the injury bug. And everyone says that all the time. But what can you actually do about that?
Right.
And as people think that, it's what you do on the field, but really it's what you do off the field as far as recruiting that takes place. And what type of coaching is going on to help that number two guy be ready to go?
Yep. There's new strength and conditioning.
That
coach, right?
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that goes into it, but I don't wanna see a jump where number one goes out and the number two comes in, and then it's like they just target that person all game. So I think this year, especially with the recruiting and what we learned last year, we want to be able to have some depth, and it'll happen, as our recruiting continues to rise, because that's where it starts.
You think back. Think back last year. You lose John Nelson up front. You lose Ben Bywater, your leading tackler and linebacker. You lose your safeties, and Eddie Heckard was playing on a bad foot with a bad back, and that's what you had to deal with against these Big 12 offenses that were firing.
Yeah, it's so tough. It's so tough, and that's one thing that we need to do everything we can and what we can control, so that way, if that does happen, okay, we feel confident that we have across the board people that are ready to go in and they can play right away.
Well, Bronson, we appreciate the time, man.
Yeah,
thanks for coming in and breaking it down, man.
Yeah, thanks.
Always good to see you.
Are you joining us on Countdown a few times?
Hey,
let's do it.
If you invite me, I'm there.
Yeah, you're always
of course.
We're going to make that happen.
Let's do it.
What a great conversation.
He knows
the
mayor of the city, too. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You know the mayor.
Yeah, he knows the mayor.
It's good to see you.
Thanks for coming on,
Bronson. Hey, our latest Deep Blue podcast stays with that football theme with Keelan Marion. Check it out wherever you find your podcast. Talks about his confidence stemming from where it comes from, why he's always smiling, how football bonds his family, and a lot more. Listen wherever you get your podcasts. Deep Blue with Keelan Marion.
I've heard it. I liked it. It's a fun one. Check awesome. It out. The latest mock drafts coming up with Kingsley Suamataia and Sisters Go Yard for the softball team. The Sister Act. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Whether you're planning a simple backyard party or a large event, Diamond Event and Tent has exactly what you need. From tables, chairs, and linens, to tents, dance floors, and stages, Diamond has an amazing inventory to choose from, and a professional staff that will help you pull it all together. Diamond Event and Tent serves the entire Wasatch Front, and you can either pick up your party rental items or have them delivered. Visit DiamondEvent.com.
BYU coaches Kalani Sitake and Mark Pope know how one move can change the game.
Did you believe the BYU credit card from Mountain America is this great?
This is big time.
Plus, for a limited time, Mountain America will donate $100 to the Student Athlete Mentoring Program for every new BYU credit card opened.
Help support BYU athletics.
Get your BYU credit card from Mountain America today.
Loans on approved credit. Membership required based on eligibility. Limited time offer also available with BYU debit cards. Offer can change or be withdrawn at any time. Offer ends 12/31/2024.
Looking for the perfect place to stay while visiting Provo? We've got you covered at Hyatt Place, located in the heart of downtown Provo. At the Hyatt Place, we understand that every trip has a purpose, and every stay should be an opportunity to recharge and make the next day more successful than the one before. Just like our Cougars never settle for anything but a win, neither do we. You'll see why BYU, fans, and preferred partners stay with us year after year. Hyatt Place Provo, where guests like you are our top priority. Proud sponsor of BYU Athletics. Go Cougs!
Telling stories is like looking at the stars.
Meet Sam Payne, host of The Appleseed.
When we engage with the stories of the world, we turn our hearts and we turn our thoughts to the people who have told and kept those stories. When we share old stories, we think about the generations who kept and told those stories. And when we tell new stories, we leave a breadcrumb trail for people to discover us when we're gone in the telling and sharing and hearing of their stories.
The Appleseed, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day. Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jeremy. He's Dave. Let's get to today's headlines.
BYU softball beat Utah Tech 12-4 last night
at
Gale Miller Field. They're out 21-13 on the season. The offense was sparked by a sister act, the Agbayani sisters. They each hit a home run. Here's the calls.
That is an absolute bomb to center field. Alea Agbayani has tied the game at 4. And the Agbayani sisters going to work for the Cougars. Driven well into the gap. Out of here! It's an Agbayani party. Both Alea and Ilana have homered, and the Cougars have taken a stranglehold on this game.
Alea 3-for-3, a home run, 4 RBI. Ilana 2-for-3, home run, 2 RBI. Next up, a road series at UCF So they're going to Orlando today. They'll start playing tomorrow.
That's awesome, man. How cool is that?
Totally. Like, Spencer was on the call. It was great.
It's like when Baylor threw to Gunnar Romney.
Yeah.
For a touchdown. It's like, hey, the brothers, let's go.
Proud parents.
Gymnastics compete at NCAA Regionals today in Arkansas. This is video from the team leaving earlier this week, which is awesome, and a dual meet with Boise State at 3 Eastern on ESPN+. If BYU wins, they advance to competition tomorrow against number 2 LSU, number 15 Minnesota, and Oregon State. Top 2 would then advance from there. We'll chat with Anna Bramblett in the next segment.
BYU offensive tackle Kingsley Suamataia featured in ESPN's Field Yates latest 2024 NFL mock draft, going 30th. That makes him a first-round pick to the Ravens. The draft coming up starting on April 25th.
Another sneak into the first round.
He says this catch is yes.
Let's go.
Field Crazy. Yates,
yeah. Women soccer player Ellie Walbrook announced she tore her ACL on social media. Walbrook scored 11 goals last season, the most of any returning player for BYU. Certainly a big blow for the Cougars. We'll talk about it more in a moment.
Men's basketball's Tanner Hayhurst has entered the transfer portal. Played in 11 games for BYU this past season. Scored a couple of points.
Jack Barnett of the tennis team entered the ITA rankings at number 123. He just upset the 50th ranked singles player in the country last week. And he's the fifth Cougar in the last 10 years to be ranked in the top 125. He was just on the show. He's from Australia. Got the long hair. Yeah. He's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. Congrats.
Okay, those are today's headlines. Now let's whip it. Cougar Whip Around is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
Mentioned a moment ago, BYU forward Ellie Walbrook tore ACL. How big of a loss is this for the Cougars, who are losing so much already?
Yeah, Brecken Mozingo, Bella Foligno, Rachel McCarthy, some really dynamic goal scorers from a special group that went to the College Cup two of the last 4 years. Walbrook was the UCLA transfer who scored against number one UCLA at the time.
Yeah.
Last fall. It was a big deal. It's a massive bummer. She put that out on April Fool's. I thought it was a joke at first. Unfortunately, it's a reality. And so BYU is going to have to figure it out. Yet, this team recruits really well. They've got a lot of talent around her. Very excited about this team in spite of this, but our best wishes to Ellie.
And 2 years still to play when she comes back.
Yep.
All right.
Okay, the viewership numbers came out for LSU-Iowa's women's basketball Elite Eight game. 12.3 mil, which is more than every Thursday night football game, four of the five 2023 NBA Finals games, the World Series, and almost every college football game from last season. Has Caitlin Clark's fame passed Jimmer Mania?
You know, it has, because she's a pioneer right now for women's basketball.
Yeah.
And folks are loving it. And she's the reason everyone's watching, let's be honest. And she's gotten a lot of hype. Jimmer got a lot of hype. There was a night where it was on SportsCenter, it was, what did Jimmer do tonight? And we're seeing that with Caitlin Clark. She's fantastic. As I've watched her, I thought, this is Jimmer. She's Jimmer. And now she's exceeded Jimmer in points.
Yep.
Every now and then a special player comes along that captures the attention of America. And she plays at Iowa, Jimmer was at BYU. Those aren't basketball powerhouses that are always in the top five and always on TV. So it takes these special athletes to go, what did she do today? I know all this other stuff's going on. What out in BYU did Jimmer? How many Jimmer score today? And Jimmer's known around the world because of that. Caitlin will be known around the world for this season and what she's done.
Jimmer Mania is not over, by the way.
No.
It's going to flare up again in July and August when he's in the Olympics and people go, oh yeah, that guy.
Yeah.
I remember him in 2011.
Caitlin's going to have to take it to the world.
Yeah, no, she's doing great.
Exceed.
One of my favorite stories about Jimmer Mania is Tyler Hawes goes on his mission after Jimmer's junior year, right?
Yeah.
He's in the Philippines. And someone sees him, recognizes that he's an American, and says, hey, do you know Jimmer Fredette? And little does this guy know that Tyler Haas not only knows random American James Taft Fredette, he's friends with him because he was on the same team. Like, what were the chances? That's crazy.
About as good as that guy's going to actually score more points than Jimmer after his mission.
I'm going to score more points than him, which is wild.
Big 12 announced that Big 12 Mexico is going to be delayed until 2025 due to the, quote, onboarding of four new member institutions.
Yeah.
AKA welcoming the four corner schools into the conference, which left some to wonder, is this Utah's fault?
Always. No. For those who don't know what Big 12 Mexico is, they were going to have some football games on the radio in Spanish. They were also going to have what I think Kansas and Houston men and women's teams go to Mexico City and play games. And so, yeah, at some point, we'll get into this. I think it is a cool idea.
Yeah, sure.
But, yeah, you get to it when you can. Certainly that was announced before the four. So I get it. If we're gonna blame Utah, that's whatever. Like, yeah.
I think
and Colorado and Arizona and Arizona.
Blame them all. Yeah. I think they were gonna send Houston down there playing somebody.
I thought it was Kansas, but maybe not.
Yeah, I think so. I would you like to see BYU in Utah down there in Mexico?
No, but I wouldn't. I want that here.
I know who would have the home fans.
Yes, I do. My mom, I've talked about it. She grew up in Mexico until she was 14. Lived in Mexico City as well. Went to the 68 Olympics, which Kresimir Ćosić would have competed in.
Yeah.
But she went to the high jump event, you know, when she was a kid, which is
she
pretty
didn't
cool.
Know.
Mexico City, if you think the altitude's tough at Wyoming, just wait for Mexico City. Pollution slash altitude, it's wild. The United States has a hard time going down there winning in soccer.
We want BYU and Utah in the Marriott Center.
Yeah.
Like every
year. I wouldn't mind sending Utah down there. But. Yeah, that's a great question.
The water's great down there. You drink it up.
Better than Flint, I guess. Coming up, Anna Bramlett of the gymnastics team joins us from Arkansas to discuss NCAA regionals. This is BYU Sports Nation.
This portion of BYU Sports Nation is presented by Maersk, your e-commerce logistics shipping partner.
From business matters to family matters, from legal advice to litigation, Fillmore Spencer is your full-service law firm headquartered just a mile north of LaBelle Edwards Stadium on University Avenue, with branch offices in Salt Lake and St. George. Top-rated lawyers consistently voted Utah Valley's favorite law firm. With its broad legal expertise, Fillmore Spencer can play offense or defense and even provide a little coaching. Fillmore Spencer, solving problems and seizing opportunities for you, your family, and your business.
I'm unique, and so are my financial needs. That's why when Zions Bank says they're dedicated to valuing you, supporting you, serving you, understanding you, protecting you, what they're really saying is they're dedicated to providing me with tools and services designed to meet my unique financial needs, no matter what stage of life I find myself in. It's just one of the many ways Zions Bank is for you and for me. A division of Zions Bank Corporation, NA, member FDIC, equal housing lender, and MLS number 467014.
Cougar fans, it's time to gear up and get ready for BYU sports. The excitement is back and bigger than ever. We're taking on the Big 12. Are you geared up and ready to cheer them on? The BYU Store is the number one source for all your quality, authentic BYU gear. Get your official Big 12 merch, game day tee, and the latest Nike sideline clothing, just like the BYU players and coaches wear. Shop the campus store, the stadium store, or online at BYUstore.com for the widest selection of BYU clothing and accessories. The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Hey everyone, this is Lauren McLean for Her Why, where we celebrate the women who make BYU sports great.
Going to BYU, I felt like I still had so much to prove. I kind of felt like an underdog once again.
My dad always said, he's like, I'm not going to be the person that makes you guys great. You guys are.
I know who I am, and I know who God thinks I am. And so that's what matters the most to me.
You can listen to all episodes of Her Why on the BYU Radio app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation, your Cougar Sports day-to-day play-by-play in Studio B in Provo, Utah. I'm Jerem Jordan alongside Dave McCann. Big day for gymnastics, who's at the NCAA Regionals in a play-in against Boise State. They've got to beat the Broncos tonight to advance. Let's go. Let's go to Fayetteville, Arkansas now and get the inside scoop on what's going on with Anna Bramblett, who joins us. Anna, how's it going in Fayetteville this morning?
Hi. Things are great. We're already having a good time, and we're super pumped about today. So, yeah.
It's a familiar foe in Boise State, a team that you've competed against a bunch. You've got to win to advance, so what kind of positive pressure are you feeling about today's competition?
I'm just feeling good about what we've already been put up, or what we have been putting up in the past, and just knowing that we can all come together and put up another good meet. So
One of the great things about the postseason are the butterflies that come out and fly around, because this is this is showtime. So tell us how it feels to be just hours away from competition.
So you kind of get into your like gymnastics routine. You either listen to the types of music you like to listen to, or you just kind of get into the mindset of like, let's all get together, let's do this as a team, and let's have fun together. So.
What's your routine exactly? Is there a certain song, a certain musician you're listening to?
I like to listen to the cello, to be honest.
Oh, and it Yo-Yo Ma, like let's go.
Yeah, makes things a little more smooth for me, so, yeah.
First year in the Big 12, how did Big 12 competition prepare you for today?
I would say there's a lot of really great teams out there, and we were able to just kind of get a feel for those bigger meets, the high energy, all of that type of stuff. And so I feel like that's been able to just help us prepare the best and keep us ready for what's to come next.
You put up a 9.95, the individual high for BYU at the Big 12 Championships on bars. It was the third highest of anybody at that event. What was it like to put up that kind of score at that event?
I would say it was really fun and it was very exciting. I was really grateful for what I put up and for all of my teammates and my coaches just supporting me and cheering me on during the whole thing. So it was very exciting.
When you do that, and now you get to go back out there and do it again, how eager are you to get to the floor? Because, you know, you got to take it one notch higher, right, in the NCAAs.
I would say, like, yeah, definitely eager to get to the floor and just kind of get out there and kind of, like, get practicing and then kind of get into the rhythm, get into the flow, and then it all kind of just goes from there, so.
You guys have put up a 197.050 three meets in a row. Do you feel like that score would be good enough to win today?
I do believe so, yes. Absolutely.
And BYU has not put up a 197 in the regionals before. That would make history. So how are you feeling about the team's ability to put up what could be a record-setting performance today?
Yeah, no, I definitely have big faith in our team, and I know that we can do it. We've been coming together for the last few meets, and I know that we can do it again, so we've got it.
Anna Bramblett, BYU gymnast, on with us just ahead of competition in the NCAAs today back in Arkansas. Let's talk about your week. It starts with you getting engaged. We haven't met Garrett. We're going to assume he's a nice guy, but
there's
the evidence. So how did it all go down? How did he make the pitch?
He ended up asking me to go out to dinner with him, and then he wanted to take me to the Salt Flats to watch the sunrise. And so that day it happened to be cloudy and rainy, but we still went anyways. And we ended up just playing in the rain. And then all of a sudden he was on his knee, and I was like, wow, like I was so surprised, and I had no clue what was going on. So it was just so amazing, and it was a really, really, really fun moment. So
sunrise. Yeah, this is super early as well.
Yeah, very early. It was about, I would say, 7:30,
okay,
something like that.
Not that early. Yeah, I was thinking like, yeah,
it, not
daylight savings helps out. If it was a couple weeks ago, maybe not. But yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
How are you riding that event with this event today in terms of obviously big moments in your life? Getting engaged, a bigger deal probably than the NCAAs when the dust settles, but two big events here.
I would just say the adrenaline and the like hype of the week has kind of helped me keep the energy flowing into regionals and just stay excited for what's to come today. So.
Well, we think it's awesome. Congratulations on the engagement, and congratulations on being in the show. As a team now, once this interview ends, walk us through what's going to happen the next couple of hours before the meet begins with your group.
Yeah, so we're going to leave pretty soon on the bus to get to the arena, and we go ahead and finish up getting ready, our makeup, our hair, whatever we need to do, and then we start practice or like the meet warm-up. And so then we do like 15-minute rotations on each event, and then we just prepare for the meet. We get our practice out, feel the equipment, and then once practice is over, then we have about 30 minutes usually until the meet starts. And so then we all huddle together, we do our cheers, we do our little meet rituals, I guess, not rituals, but we get together and we huddle up, and we just kind of prepare as a team. So then it's march out. So
who's the most wired in those moments pre-meet, and then who's the most low-key on the team?
I would say Ava Jorgensen is the most low-key. And then the most wired, possibly Eliza Millar. She's like super excited, very, very pumped for these events. So it's really exciting to see all that.
Well, we're stoked. It's a big deal. You're competing with Boise State. It's always good to beat Boise State in anything. So we're going to be watching with great anticipation. Anna, we appreciate the time. Let's see another 995 or better on the bars. Best of luck and all the BYU Sports Nation karma we can give you guys. Good luck.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Anna Bramlett from Fayetteville, Arkansas. You got it. Best of luck. Hey, big deal. You got to win this, and then you compete tomorrow, and you got to be one of the top two teams to advance from there.
And LSU's in that group. Yeah. They're number two. And so, you know, get through the day. Win in advance, right?
Yes, win in advance and be that second team tomorrow, which would be awesome.
Big one in Arkansas. We remind you it's coming up later today, and you can watch it at 3 o'clock Eastern time on ESPN+. BYU and Boise State in the NCAA regionals.
Coming up, who gets today's rise and shout out? And the elite voice of the day. Which one of you is going to get it? This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Cougar Nation, your game day just got upgraded. Download the BYU Cougars mobile app and check out Game Day Mode. Your destination for all things game day. Immerse yourself in the ultimate fan experience, including live highlights, rosters, and game notes. Elevate your in-game experience with interactive games and activations. Find the app now by searching BYU Cougars in the Apple App or Google Play stores and download today.
Okay, sweetie, what other things shine besides the sun?
Mrs. Danielson's car.
Wait, no, I mean sparkles, like a diamond, or the tinsel on a Christmas tree, like really shines.
Mrs. Danielson's car.
No, sweetie, I'm talking shiny.
No, Daddy, look, Mrs. Danielson's car.
Oh, yeah, I see what you mean.
When you get an unlimited wash membership at Quick Quack, everyone notices. Get your shine on at don'tdrivedirty.com.
BYU coaches Kalani Sitake and Mark Pope know how one move can change the game.
Can you believe the BYU credit card from Mountain America is this great?
This is big time.
Plus, for a limited time, Mountain America will donate $100 to the Student Athlete Mentoring Program for every new BYU credit card opened.
Help support BYU athletics.
Get your BYU credit card from Mountain America today.
Loans on approved credit. Membership required based on eligibility. Limited time offer also available with BYU debit cards. Offer can change or be withdrawn at any time. Offer ends 12/31/2024.
Is the glass half empty or half full? At BYU Radio, the glass is half full. We dedicate our time and energy creating programming content designed to help you see the positive in the world. Like a brand new pair of glasses, our podcasts bring topics into focus with a fresh and uplifting perspective. Why dwell on the negative when there's so much good all around? The Lisa Show, Constant Wonder, Top of Mind, In Good Faith, and The Appleseed. Check out those new glasses wherever you get your podcasts or download the BYU Radio app.
Sports Nation's on demand. As always, download the free BYU TV and BYU Radio apps or check out the podcast, and we invite you to subscribe. You can rate us, review the show, give all kinds of feedback.
On IMDb, Dennis Pitta is one of the hosts of the show, apparently. So that's fun. I know who wrote that in, so I'm coming for you. Our question of the day, which football position group do you believe will be the most improved this season? Reiner Swanson weighs in. Yes, that Reiner Swanson, the tight end on the team. He says O-line. He weighed in on Instagram.
Okay.
Yeah, O-line is going to be super improved.
He would
Reiner
know.
Didn't play on the team last year, but he watched the games.
Yeah, and he just went through spring practice.
And he saw. Yeah, I take that not with any grains of salt. But,
not to take away from, anything from Farmer Hiram. Who follows up Reiner's...
Hey, a regular on this program now.
He says the O-line. Yeah. And as a result, the running backs too. Better blocking equals better running equals wins.
That's a formula that I believe in. Right there. I didn't take a math class at BYU, but that sounds good to me. Clyde Livingston on X. Running backs. That is where the most improvement is needed to get some positive yards, especially on first down. Okay, a couple of rushing stats from the past 4 years in the last couple of minutes of the show here. BYU, you're looking at the total and the average, right? Yeah, 23 was like 1,000 yards less than 22. It was tough, right? 1.5 yards per carry fewer. It was a real tough go. BYU replaced the O-line coach. They're bringing in some experienced guys back, which is exciting. They're going to hit the portal for 1 to 2 guys, Aaron Roderick said Saturday.
And do they not miss Tyler Allgeier as you look at those numbers?
Oh, that was awesome, man. Like, yeah, that 24-45 was pretty good in 2021.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
It was awesome. It wasn't bad. Oh, my gosh. Okay, our elite voice of the day is this, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Ben Peterson on X. I like the energy and excitement from the O-line. A new coach can often push players to a better place. I think they're going to be a lot better this season. I've talked to several offensive linemen after practice who have said that they really enjoy T.J. Woods. Yeah. They're being held accountable. He's teaching them different techniques, you know, that work. That spot on the O-line makes everybody better. Like, it's harder to quantify for the layman watching a football game. But if the O-line obviously performs better, it's going to make it so even the defense is better. That's how much of an effect there is.
And Connor pays the center, and the center is completely bought in. One of the reasons he came back was T.J. Woods and what he's learning in his last go-round to prepare for a shot at the NFL is this right now, and he's excited about this group as well. And when the center's all in, he's the anchor. And then the other guys follow suit, and yeah, I think there's reason for optimism up front.
Yeah, you got Lapu'ahu back and Pay.
They're all giants.
And you got some like 6'8" tackles. Braden Keim is a beast. He kind of sat out spring. I think he had like maybe a wrist or hand issue. And then Caleb Etienne is shifting from right tackle to left tackle. He's the former starting left tackle at Oklahoma State. And then you return the running backs, which is exciting. L.J. Martin's back. Hinkley Ropati, they call him Falau. He is coming off an ACL, and he was springy and really good in the screen game specifically in 22. And then Miles Davis, I think he's going to get a proper shot between the tackles. He's really good, like, just sweep, you know, toss right, toss left. Let's see what he can do this year. And then you got some young guys behind him.
What'll be interesting against Southern Illinois, and we mentioned it the other day, is that of all the things to watch, with this, we're going to be watching the line of scrimmage. Is that offensive line bigger, stronger, faster, and ready to play nasty? And if they are, good things are ahead.
Hopefully they can block well and BYU runs well. And then, hey, first downs and points, and let's go, man. Our elite voice of the day, as was mentioned, today's Rise and Shoutout is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. Good luck to gymnastics. NCAA Regionals coming up at 3 Eastern on ESPN+. There's got to be Boise State and then advance after that. Good luck to the ladies. Our thanks to today's guests, Bronson Kafusi and Anna Brambler.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
Sorry to Dennis Pitta, we ran out of time. For Dave, I'm Jeremy. Shout out to Shannon Evans. Go Cougs!
Did you know the average TV commercial break is around 3 minutes long? And that it takes a cup of noodles about 3 minutes to cook? Your favorite song is probably...